4. Right now we have 54 degrees at 306. From the Window World Studios at Westport, I'm Kent Martin, KTRS News.
If you've been in business for over 67 years, you must be treating the customers right. If you need your heating and air conditioning repaired or replaced, call the people I rely on. Gelmisch & Sons, 314-993-1110 or gelmischandsons.com.
Hi, this is Jennifer Williams with St. Louis Closet Company, and we are celebrating our 26th year in business. Call today to schedule your free in-home estimate, 314-781-9000. St. Louis Closet Company can make a place for everything in your closets, your pantry, your laundry room, and even your home office. At St. Louis Closet Company, we've been creating new spaces in St. Louis homes for 26 years. A place for shoes, a place for ties, a place for sweaters, and even a place for jewelry. Call St. Louis Closet Company today to schedule your free in-home estimate, 314-781-9000, or visit our newly remodeled showroom in Maplewood, located at 2626 South Big Bend, just north of Manchester Road. St. Louis Closet Company, 314-781-9000.
The Friday afternoon Paul Harris Show on the air everywhere. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Max and Tim are both here with me this afternoon. Hi, guys. How are you?
Just fine. Good afternoon.
I was waiting for Tim to say hello.
That was very nice of you. I heard him take that pre-speaking deep breath as if he were waiting for you to say something.
Yeah, really.
This is the most courteous show on the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to tell you right up at the top of the show today, I'm doing this show one-handed. I had a little accident yesterday.
A hand is not tied behind your back, but it is pretty useless.
No. My wife joked, you can do that show with one hand tied behind your back. And I told her I practically am today. Here's what happened. And by the way, I'm talking about this because I want to take a moment to salute anybody who has to go through life without the use of an appendage. Because when you're a healthy, four-appendaged person walking around on your two healthy feet and using your two healthy arms and hands, you take a lot of stuff for granted. Here's what happened. Yesterday, I was here at the radio station, and I had a lot of things on my mind, a lot of stuff I had to take care of outside of the radio station, but I did the show. I did Carney's show yesterday from 1 to 3. And then as I was leaving, I forgot that the studios here are raised compared to the rest of the radio station.
Right.
When you leave the studio, you must take a step down.
Okay.
We had a guest who was on the show in the studio 3 or 4 months ago who didn't see that it was a step down, missed it, and almost did a header into the wall on the opposite wall of the hallway. And I remember thinking at the time, boy, I've been here a long time. I've never done that. I hope I never do. Well, yesterday was my day. I came out of the studio, forgot about the step, missed it completely, and went down.
Now, in your defense, you are brand new here.
Yeah, I only came here in 1999. So it's not like I know my way around. So I went down, and fortunately, I have that instinct I learned. We all learned when we were babies. The thing that you're not born with. The put your hands out in front of you when you're falling forward thing. If you've ever seen an infant trying to learn how to walk, you'll know that's not instinctive. That's learned. You go down 10 times on your nose.
Right.
And then something in your brain says, let me see how the grown-ups seem to do it when they have that problem. And they all put their hands forward, so I'm going to put my hands forward. So that's what I did yesterday. I put my hands forward, and I fell, and simultaneously, or I guess almost simultaneously, landed on my palms and my knees. And being a person with a healthy ego, the first thing I did was look around to see, did anybody see me do that?
The hair is
tumbling. You know what I mean?
The hair is tumbling.
Yeah, you don't want people. First of all, it's more embarrassing to me to have other people come running over. Are you okay? Are you all right? Because story, bottom line is, I was okay. But nobody saw it, so I kind of got up, dusted myself off. I realized my palms were tingling a little bit, and my kneecaps, too. But I was okay. And I picked up my backpack, and I went to the car and ran some errands on the way home. Then I got home, and I started to do something on my laptop. I was posting the audio of the interviews that I did yesterday on the show, putting them up online, putting out social media commentary about them, promoting them, etc. And as I'm doing this, it takes about an hour and a half or an hour 45 for me to do that. As I'm doing it, I notice my left wrist is starting to hurt. And the pain was growing. And I'm pretty good on a laptop. I'm pretty fast. And I know all the shortcuts, etc.
Yep.
But as I'm doing it, I notice my left hand is kind of slowing down because of the pain. Or every time I would type something in a particular way, it would hurt. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, I'm getting carpal tunnel. I'd completely forgotten about the fall.
Sure.
Because it was immaterial to me.
Yep.
And it happened hours before.
And you just thought this is because of the laptop use.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm spending way too much time online. I should spend more time watching TV. So you never hear about a watching TV injury unless it's involved in with a thrown remote. That's it. If you're sitting in your recliner at home and you're watching TV, you never get hurt that way, do you, Tim? No.
No.
Okay.
No, you don't.
So it starts to hurt me, but I'm thinking, well, once I stop typing and doing all the other stuff I'm doing here, the editing of the audio files, etc., I'll be fine. And then I called my wife at work. It was almost the end of her work day, and I said, hey, let's meet for dinner, and then let's go to an early screening of this new Greta Gerwig movie, Lady Bird, which is getting phenomenal reviews, but I did not get to go to a screening of a press screening. Did you, Max?
I did not.
Okay. So I said, let's go. It's going to be showing at 7 o'clock on Thursday night at this theater. Let's go see it. She said, fine, pick me up at work. So I drive to where she works, and along the way, the sensation in my left wrist was not going away. But I'm a man, and men don't make a big deal about this. Right?
You're right. Right. You're right.
So I get to where I'm picking her up at work. She comes out. She gets in the car. We start driving down the road, and I'm telling her about the pain. And she says, you sure you want to go to dinner and the movie? I said, yeah, I'll be fine. And then 5 more seconds went by, and I said, no. I need to go to a hospital. This is not just from typing.
Wow.
Half hour has gone by since I stopped. I got to go have somebody look at this. So we went to Barnes West, a hospital I am unfortunately familiar with because they took out my gallbladder and 2 inches of a bone spur in my back years and years ago.
Which you wanted them to do.
Yes, I did. they don't
right.
do, they don't do many of those surgeries against your will. it's all elective. But I mean, in both cases, I needed it. And I'll say again what I said in 2009 when they did that. The staff there, particularly the nursing staff, tremendous human beings. Just fantastic. So I knew I'd be okay. And I also knew that unlike going to Mercy or MoBAP or even the BJC hospitals down on Kings Highway, I know that that hospital's emergency room is rarely busy on weekdays and certainly not at 5:45 in the afternoon. And sure enough, we go there. I take my car. I took my wife back to her car so she could drive her own car, just in case. You never know. And we get to there, and I go into the emergency room. There's no one waiting. Woohoo! I'm next! The woman takes my information, and they take me in. Eventually, a nurse takes me into triage, and I explain it to her. And, you know, you got to lay out all the stuff about medication, et cetera, et cetera. She says, okay, you're going to need x-rays. And the x-ray tech comes in, takes me. Very nice guy. Had a nice conversation with him as he took 3 x-rays of my wrist, and he said, well, I'm not the doctor, but I'm telling you right now, it's not fractured. Okay, excellent. I don't know if he's supposed to tell me that, but he's a nice guy, and we were having a conversation.
Not the doctor.
Not the doctor.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still feeling good, but I still am going to wait to hear from the doctor. So they set me up in one of the little curtained-off areas in the emergency room, and my wife is there, and we're hanging on, and she asked me, how's it feel? And I said, oh, boy, I'll tell you what I told the nurse. On a scale of 10, with 10 being the worst pain you've ever, like your femur has broken, This is maybe like a 6. Now, I know what a 10 is because I've had kidney stones and I had the pain of the gallbladder thing. So I know a 10. And this is a 6. And she said, wow, that's pretty bad. I bet you it's broken. And I said, well, the guy said no. He said, why don't we wait till the doctor comes in? Okay. Another 10 or 15 minutes come by. The doctor who's taking a look at the x-ray says, the good news is it's not a fracture. Woohoo! Yes! It's not a fracture. The bad news is you've got a bad sprain. Actually, he said strain. And I, last night, had to Google, what's the difference between a sprain and a strain? And essentially, there's no difference. So you can, they're interchangeable. But it has to do with a ligament in the left outside part of my wrist. And anytime I would move my wrist or even move my fingers a lot, as I would when I was typing, the pain would shoot right up my arm. And so he said, well, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take this medication. And I said, well, I can't take that medication. No narcotics for me. My body will not handle narcotics for reasons I won't go into now. He said, well, how can you do how about a non-narcotic painkiller? I said, yeah, I'm fine with that. Skip ahead to the end of the story. He gives me a prescription essentially to take a lot of ibuprofen and Tylenol. Ibuprofen to reduce the swelling, Tylenol to reduce the pain. And thanks to those two wonder medicines, I'm down from a 6 to maybe a 3 or a 4 on my wrist.
All right.
And he also said, and we're going to put you in a splint. Now, here's the interesting part of this. They put the splint on me, and I go home, and my wife and I have dinner, and I'm taking the medication. And everything seems like it's fine. And then it comes time to get ready for bed. And here's where the fun begins, and here's where I really take my hat off to people who have to operate without an arm. For whatever reason. I remember 20-something years ago, 15, whatever it was, I got gout in my hand. And gout is the sort of thing that when you have it in a part of your body, nothing can touch that part of that body of your body without severe pain. You know, a strong breeze hurt. That's how bad gout can be if you have it. And I'd forgotten how impossible it is to go through your regular life not being able to use a hand. Think about how difficult it is to put on a sock with one hand.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I'm not comparing this to major physical trauma. I know Tim went through something years ago with his gut that this doesn't even come close to comparing to. Believe me, yeah. I'm not putting myself on the same level as you. I'm just saying, for those of us who have two good hands and arms, you take a lot of stuff for granted. I'll give you a perfect example. It's my left hand. I sit in the driver's seat of my car when I'm driving, obviously. How do you close the door?
Oh, yeah, right.
I had to do the Chuck Yeager reach across when he was getting into the X1 at the beginning of the right stuff, and he had to use a broken-off broom handle that Levon Helm gave him to help close that door. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing the Chuck Yeager reach across to slam it closed. Try unbuttoning the right cuff of your shirt. If you wear button-down shirts and you have cuffs there, try doing that when you can't use your left hand. Which is why today...
That's where teeth come in. Right.
That's where you have to go into little boy mode with your wife. Will you please undo this for me?
Can you tie my shoes?
That's great.
And then here's the other part of it that, again, you don't think of. Normally, in my regular life, I carry my cell phone and my keys in the left front pocket of my pants. Can't do that now because I can't get my left hand into the left front pocket of my pants. So I had to rearrange everything. And now I walk around, and because I don't have that sensation of the phone on my thigh, I feel like, oh, what did I do? Did I lose my cell phone? And so I'm doing that patting myself down. Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it on the right front. Okay. It's just those tiny little things that make up the annoyances that go with this. And incidentally, again, hats off to people who don't have that arm or the other one or have to go through life with whatever body parts are missing. I know that eventually you come up with a routine to do it, but also what you have is permanent as opposed to what I have, which is going to last, I don't know, a week maybe. I'm hoping for Thanksgiving I'll be able to do my standard two-handed food shove. But for the meantime, there's my little story of just a little bit of annoyance from
can I tell you a I'll make it real quick, but I can give you kind of a related story.
Okay, good.
All right. So years ago when we were flying in the helicopter, and this was, I guess a year, 2 years after my divorce, I invited a girl to come over and go flying with us. And so I'm sitting. So this is a little different than you. You looked around. Nobody was there. I was sitting at the desk, and so the, you know how the desk drawer, there's three desk drawers on the side of you. They were on the right, and it happened that the lower drawer was out just a little bit, and I swung my foot around. I got up, and the corner of that drawer caught my foot, and it tripped me. And I didn't do what you did, Paul. I landed smack on my elbow.
Oh.
And so, you know, she saw me, Tim, you okay? I felt embarrassed and that. No, I'm all right. You know, it didn't hurt. So we went flying, and while we were flying, it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. So I ended up, after we got done flying, I went home, waited a little while, then I went to the hospital, the emergency room, and the trouble was then the emergency room was packed. Now, do you remember Al Brady Law?
Yes.
Okay, so Al Brady Law was the program director at the time, so I didn't get out of that emergency room until 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, how many hours? How many hours was that?
I was in there from about, 7:30, 8 o'clock until 3:30 in the morning.
So 7 or 8 hours. Oh,
right.
My goodness.
And so I went to work that next morning, and I hadn't had any sleep or anything like that.
Right.
And so I get a phone call after I landed from Al Brady Law, and he goes, did you have a problem this morning? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you sounded like you were half asleep and you didn't get any sleep last night. You have an answer? And I go, yeah, I was in the emergency room and I didn't get any sleep last night.
You have an answer.
But he didn't care. He said, you need to sound as good at the end of your, at the beginning of your shift as you do at the end and blah, blah, blah. But it was the same thing, Paul. You don't notice it until later.
Yeah.
But luckily you had the luxury of nobody saw me fall, but right. I felt stupid about that.
Was your elbow broken?
Yes, it was broke.
So you then had to be in a cast.
I had to be in a cast, but
so
I,
you had no use of your right arm or whichever arm was.
No, compared to you, I can understand because you cannot squeeze your hand probably,
right.
And you can't do those things. I had to keep my elbow straight, but I could still use my hands and stuff. So I didn't have exactly what you do. So I still had use of the hand, but the arm was straight out, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I get it. You know, you don't, it's all right. It'll be better tomorrow. No, it starts throbbing and that's it.
Here's the kicker to my story. I call my regular physician to tell him about this today. And he says, yeah, your wife called me yesterday from the emergency room. So I knew about it, but I don't know the whole story. All I know is that you took a fall at work. And then he paused and he said, I didn't know talk radio was a combat sport.
It can be.
Not the way I do it. More in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS.
Are you hiring? Join over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site. Indeed.com.
Savings based on 2-year protection plan compared to T-Mobile premium device protection as of July 12, 2017. SquareTrade does not cover loss or stolen items. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting a new phone? Get this. Every 2 seconds, one of us accidentally breaks our phone. So, protecting your phone is a smart idea. But phone insurance through your wireless carrier can cost as much as $15 every month. Switch to SquareTrade phone protection instead for half the cost of insurance through your wireless carrier, and you could save $200 or more. It's like protecting two phones for the price of one. SquareTrade covers accidents like drops and spills with easy same-day repair options. Part of the Allstate family, we're trusted by over 30 million customers with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And switching to SquareTrade is easy. How else can you save $200 in 10 minutes? So don't wait. Switch today.
Switch to SquareTrade now and you can save over $200. Visit SquareTrade.com. That's SquareTrade.com.
Walgreens has good news for everyone who uses Medicare Part B for diabetes testing supplies. We've got your back, or in this case, your test strips. Walgreens accepts Medicare assignment and full coverage supplemental insurance, so you'll pay as low as $0 out of pocket, which is the same as mail order. Pick up the medications you rely on and save on all major brands, like Contour Next and Walgreens True Metrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
I don't have
sinus problem, so I don't know how bad it can be, but some of my friends talk about it, and I see what they go through, and I feel so terrible for them. Every time I see a friend with sinus problems, I tell them about my other friend, Dr. Karen Boone at Metro Sinus. She's an ear, nose, and throat doctor in St. Charles, and people come from all over the region to go get help from Dr. Karen Boone in Metro Sinus. She will solve your sinus problems one way or the other. But what's great about Dr. Karen Boone is that she has perfected a procedure called balloon sinuplasty. She will enlarge your sinuses so they drain properly. No more sinus headaches, no more sinus infections. In fact, colds, well, we all get colds, but people with sinus infections and sinus issues, their colds last for weeks at a time because they don't drain properly. Dr. Karen Boone can solve that problem. Covered by insurance, covered by Medicare, and it's an hour-long procedure, so you're back to work the next day. 636-685-8040 or Dr. Karen Boone at MetroSinus.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts PLAN to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text PLAN to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. PLAN to 85850.
Hi, this is Terry Hall, host of This Week in Real Estate. I want you to join me Sundays at 1 o'clock to learn about the biggest investment in life, your home. I take questions. I give answers. I teach. I help you help yourselves. Make sure that when you're buying or selling a home, you do it right and you do it efficient. Again, join me for This Week in Real Estate. I'm Terry Hall, your host. I'll see you Sunday right here at 1 o'clock on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. Proud to be here. A little inside radio business note. Today is the last day of existence for a company known as CBS Radio.
Yeah.
They got bought by a company called Entercom, and they're going to become, I think, the third largest radio group in America. Here's what this means for me personally. It means that CBS Radio will not have a third opportunity to hire me, get great ratings with my show, and fire me nonetheless. You did it twice, CBS. You can't do it a third time.
That's right.
And by the way, I'm not available anyway. I'm busy right here. Coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to talk with a guy named Andy Friendly. You may remember his father, or at least the name of his father, Fred Friendly, who was a producer who worked with Edward R. Murrow for a long time, one of the important people behind CBS News, not radio, but TV. If you saw the George Clooney movie, Good Night and Good Luck, George Clooney played Fred Friendly in that movie. Fred's son, Andy, also went to the TV business and worked with a lot of names that you will recognize when I talk to him about this book he's written about his life called Willing to Be Lucky, Adventures in Life and Television. That's coming up in just a few. And, of course, later on, Max and I will get into the movie review segment of the show where we're going to talk about Justice League, the new comic book superhero movie that has Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Superman, The Flash, and Cyborg. Is that guy's name?
It is.
Okay. Just by talking about this has made Max smile. I sat next to him at the screening the other night.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'll talk about that when we get into the review.
Very excited.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Also, I have a movie that has no superheroes in it called Wonder, which stars Jacob Tremblay, who was so good with Brie Larson in the movie Room a couple of years ago, plus Julia Roberts, plus Owen Wilson, plus Mandy Patinkin, plus a bunch of other people, based on a very, very popular kids book or a novel that was written for, let's say, young adults. I'll tell you about that next hour. And, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour, this is how you know it's your weekend beginning, the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News. All ahead here on the not-owned-by-CBS, Big 550 KTRS. course, other stations in town could say that too. In about 3 hours.
But you know what? You got to say independently owned KTRS.
Correct.
That's the proud moment.
I posted this on Twitter, and somebody wrote back to me, "Are you fired again?" I said, "No. I now work for the independently owned Big 550 KTRS, and I'm happy to be here until they fire me, which much more likely I'll quit someday. But in the meantime, let's see how the roads are.
Al Brady Law's gone. Don't worry. They just cleared an incident that was on. We never did know if it was a stall or an accident. It was on westbound 70 before Highway 270. The center lane was blocked. It is open, but the damage is done. You're jammed up from Highway 170 to just past Lindbergh before things open up. Just had a report of a stall now on the ramp from westbound Highway 4064 to northbound Highway 170. You're already running slow now from Kings Highway all the way through to where this stall is. Southbound 270, a little bit off the pace between 40 and Manchester. And on eastbound 4064 downtown, you're slowing Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by GNC. Slay the season with buy one, get one half off at GNC Sports Performance and Wellness Products. Sale ends November 22nd. Save big, slay the season, only at GNC. Live well. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Center Theater production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I, direct from Broadway. Winner of 4 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Revival. The New York Times calls it breathtaking.
Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy.
I doubt I'll see a better production in my lifetime, proclaims The Wall Street Journal. Don't miss The King and I.
Coming to the Fabulous Fox, November 28th through December 10th in the U.S. Bank Broadway Series. Tickets at MetroTix.com.
I'm Jim Evinger, CEO of Renew Sleep Solutions. Are you ready to stop snoring and treat your sleep apnea without a big, bulky CPAP mask or painful surgery? The Renew Sleep System is the FDA-cleared, compact, comfortable, custom-fit solution that's proven to stop snoring and treat your sleep apnea. Many have already met their deductible for the year, so there may be little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Call 314-279-9000. That's 314-279-9000. Or go to renewsleep.com.
This is Michael Medved. I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The government projects the cost of Medicare plans will decrease this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans nationwide to help folks maximize their benefits and save money.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
Enrollment in the right plan is not automatic. With so many Medicare options, it can be confusing. My advice, don't go it alone. Get unbiased help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more with lower co-payments, more choices like dental and vision, and the freedom to choose your doctors. With the enrollment deadline only weeks away, it's important to act now. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
For your free Medicare assistance, call 800-766-7043. That's 800-766-7043. 800-766-7043.
Difference it makes when you deal directly with the lending institution owner, as opposed to various different employees in a large lending conglomerate. Of course, I'm talking about Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. In addition to being the proud owner, Stewart prides himself on taking care of each loan from start to finish. He's been in the mortgage business for over 25 years and knows how to keep that constant recalling and rehashing at a very minimum. He knows your specific information, and when it comes time to get finalization, Stewart is there to explain your specific circumstances, getting you the lowest possible interest rate. But you must act now, as interest rates are at historic lows. Yes, the best possible rates in the shortest possible time at the lowest possible cost. Don't be confused. There's only one, Stewart's American Mortgage. On the internet, it's stewartsamc.com or call 314-324-4440. That's 324-4440.
Family owned and operated since 1972, Lakeside Roofing is celebrating 45 years in the roofing industry and would like to thank you for your support over the years. They specialize in all types of commercial and residential roofing and ensure quality and professionalism. Lakeside offers expert installation and maintenance along with inspection services to fix and prevent problems before they occur. Call 618-344-2800 in Illinois or 314-241-5253 in Missouri to speak to a roofing expert today. For more information, visit lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Jennifer Blum here to tell you about a new standard in senior living called Stonecrest at Clayton View. It is an elegant senior living community with 81 beautiful apartment homes. Some have terraces on the garden. There are secure memory care suites, restaurant-style dining, a gym, spa, and you can bring your pets with you. Stonecrest also has a senior community in Wildwood. To set up a consultation and tour, go online to stonecrestatclaytonview.com or stonecrestofwildwood.com.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. And I'm going to introduce you to a guy now who answers the question, what do Richard Pryor, Tom Snyder, Johnny Carson, Roseanne, and Dick Cavett have in common? The answer is Andy Friendly, who worked with all of those people and spent over 40 years writing, producing, directing, and overseeing television shows and movies as an executive, creating content for NBC and CBS and ABC and Discovery and PBS. He ran King World's programming for a while, Paramount, MGM, a bunch of others. Now he's written about his career in a new book called Willing to Be Lucky, Adventures in Life and Television. And I've asked him to join me to talk about it. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Congratulations on a remarkable career and a great book about it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'll tell you the parts of the book that I really enjoyed, first and foremost, were the portions about Tom Snyder, a guy who I think has been kind of forgotten by American broadcasting, but was a very important part of it for a very long time, and I was a big fan of this colored teeny drinking guy. Where and when did you first meet him?
I first met him at Channel 4, WNBC-TV in New York, in about 1974. I was working as a young production assistant researcher on the local news there. I had grown up watching him in Southern California when he was the anchorman at KNBC, which is the big station out here in L.A. where I live. And I went to school at USC at the film school, and we would all hang around watching this guy anchor the news, which was not something college kids usually did, but he was so dynamic. And he had such a personality that we were all just mesmerized by him. He was the number one anchor in all of Southern California, dominant number one for a long time. So much so that NBC moved him to New York to do the same job at Channel 4 in New York, their number one market. LA is number two, of course, and try to revive their sagging ratings on the 6 and the 11 o'clock news in New York. So they brought him in. And he did exactly that. Within months, he turned the ratings around and made them number one. He also had a late-night show, which you referred to, called The Tomorrow Show, which he had just started on the NBC network about a year earlier. It was the first program. You were right to call him one of the greats and one of the pioneers, because NBC and any of the networks at that point didn't program past Johnny Carson and the Tonight Show past 1 o'clock in the morning. That sounds hard to believe given the landscape today, but they signed off, and I don't know how old a man you are, but I'm 66, and at that time as a kid growing up, Johnny's show would end and they'd play the national anthem and put a picture of the flag waving up until about 6 o'clock the next morning, and that was the end of the NBC network and all the networks until the morning.
I do remember that. Oh, not just NBC, but as you point out, every TV station went off at 12 o'clock usually here in the Midwest, and 1 o'clock on the coast.
Hard to believe, but NBC and the executives there, Pat Weaver and some of the other smart guys, said, well, what if we program past that and go, let's try going an extra hour after Johnny. Well, what can we run that would be inexpensive but would capture that demo and the viewers of The Tonight Show? So they said, well, let's let this guy, we want to do an interview show because it doesn't cost a lot, and let's not have a band and writers like Johnny because that's too expensive. Who can we get just to come on in a simple set and interview celebrities and newsmakers and athletes and interesting people at that hour and do a good job? And they picked Snyder because he was obviously so smart and such a winner with the ratings on the news. And they started this show called The Tomorrow Show, which followed The Tonight Show and which preceded The Today Show. So Pat Weaver and the brass at NBC kind of had that concept. And Tom turned it into a huge success. It ran on NBC for about 8 years, won Emmys, and he really pioneered the late, late night. I get to meet him, to answer your question, when he was in New York anchoring the news, and I was a junior production assistant. Eventually, I was about 22, right out of USC Film School, and eventually they let me write the weekend weather and sports and try some of the other things, and I became a writer and a producer, and Tom liked my writing, and we hit it off, and he hired me onto The Tomorrow Show a couple of years later. There was an opening, and we became lifelong friends, and Tom, to your point, was one of the great innovators. He really understood the medium of television, and he could look right through that lens and reach out to viewers like he was in the room with you. And that was his appeal. He really captured viewers right by the throat. He'd stare them down with those eyes of his and that dynamic voice and that great laugh that Dan Aykroyd imitated on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just very, very good at what he did.
I'm always interested in process. So I'm curious, when Tom was doing The Tomorrow Show and you were eventually a segment producer on that show, which meant you booked the guests, and I don't know if you did pre-interviews with them or not, but as the host of the show, did he do research on them? You know, you would hand him paperwork the night before or early in that day and he'd read through that, or was he kind of an, I'll just wing it a la Larry King?
He was more of in the latter category. You know, he was so smart that he didn't need a lot of notes. He was a great conversationalist, and he actually didn't want a lot of research and notes. I worked over the years in my career, as you nicely mentioned, with many, many talk show hosts, from Phil Donahue and Geraldo Rivera to Tim Russert and Dick Cavett and Roseanne and a bunch of others. And each had their own requirements and desires, and when it came to research and preparation, Tom was much more of a wing it kind of a guy. He was so damn smart, he didn't want to clutter his mind with a lot of notes. Basically, he'd ask for 2 pages, double spaced, and if you gave him any more, he'd get angry. He'd get ticked off at you. So, whereas a guy like Donahue, who you probably remember, or others, they'd want volumes. They want everything you could get them.
Yep.
So, different strokes. But Tom was a guy, basically, just give him the basics, tell him what the guest was up to, whether it was, and we got great guests for him. They all wanted to come on with Tom, whether it was John Lennon or Alfred Hitchcock or Orson Welles or 4 presidents of the United States. He knew what was going on with these people, and he wanted it to feel spontaneous. He wanted it to be much more like a conversation than a news interview, you know.
But the one thing
he was just great at that.
The one thing I know about Tom as a viewer, and I never knew him any other way, is he was not the biggest fan of rock and roll. I mean, this is a guy who on the air called Meatloaf Meatball. And I remember a show, and I don't know if you were working on the show at the time, when a group called the Plasmatics came on the show.
Yeah, Wendy Williams and the Plasmatics.
Wendy O. Williams, not to be confused with the daytime talk show host now.
Yes, exactly.
She was a Mohawk-wearing shirt ripped off at any moment kind of woman who went on The Tomorrow Show, and I think as part of the act, didn't they either cut in half or blow up a Cadillac?
Yeah, they blew up a car in the studio. By that time, that's a funny story. Tom hated that. You know, he liked music, but he wasn't really into it. He was more of an old school Sinatra kind of guy. But, you know, he was in the 70s and the 80s and the dynamic music scene, and so we'd bring on young John Lennon or young Bono and the Edge from U2, and that he did his best. He didn't really care that much about it, and as you pointed out, he didn't like to do a whole lot of research. So that's where a lot of the comedy came from, when Aykroyd would imitate him interviewing Mick Jagger or something on Saturday Night Live, when Jagger was the host of SNL, and Aykroyd would get up and, you know, put on the leisure suit and the 4-colored hair wig and be smoking a butt and interviewing Mick Jagger, and he'd always get the lyrics wrong, or like you said, with Meatloaf and Meatball or whatever it was. But that he had a lot of fun with those guys. But later on, when they started bringing on rock bands to perform live, that wasn't really his thing. And they really changed the show in the last year. It was after I left. And actually Roger Ailes was producing the show, but and where they brought Rona Barrett in to co-host with them. This was like 1980, and the whole thing went right down the tube.
You know, those years of Tomorrow, Coast to Coast, I hope there's no video of that, Andy. Because
me too. I mean, let's lose those tapes.
I worked for NBC myself in the 80s and went once to a taping of that show, and you could see that when Rona Barrett was on the screen, Tom just hated it. Just wanted to get out of the studio. It was an absolute disaster. What did he think of Aykroyd's imitation of him?
You know, at first I think he chafed at it a little bit, but in time I think he learned to love it, because I think he knew that it was coming from a place of love and respect. You know, we taped the show right down the hall from those guys at SNL in the early years. They were in 8H and we were in 8G just down the hall at NBC at 30 Rock. The show had moved, you know, a couple times from L.A. to New York, but it was fun because we would tape our show every night, Monday through Friday at 5:30 to 6:30, or right around there, 6 to 7, I can't remember exactly. And, you know, starting Wednesdays, those guys were down the hall getting ready for the Saturday night show, so they'd be in rehearsals and starting to do early blocking. So we had the only prop bar, we call it. We, after the show, Tom liked to hold court on the with the guests or whoever, certainly us, the young crew and the gang. And in one of the prop closets, he had a full bar. So the guys at SNL weren't dumb. They found out about it, and they suddenly became Tom's good buddies. And they would drop in Aykroyd, Belushi, Chevy, Gilda Radner, Bill Murray, and they'd come in for a pop, break up their rehearsals a little bit. And they'd hang around, and we had a great time with them. So I think Tom, at first, he didn't know what was going on with that impression, but then he learned to love it. The other guy that did a great Snyder was Harry Shearer. I don't know if you remember
I do remember.
He was on SNL as well, and they were both great at it.
Andy, be honest with me.
Big laugh. Ha, 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 ha.
Right.
Ha, 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 ha. You know, the Snyder laugh.
But be honest with me, there were times when Tom must have had a pop or two before going on the air, not waiting for the prop bar to open.
Honestly, no, and I would tell you the truth on this, seriously, because there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, as I write about in the book, Ed Murrow, of all people, who is the most serious of news anchors and probably the greatest television news anchor ever, as portrayed by George Clooney in the brilliant film Good Night and Good Luck about the famous McCarthy program, Ed would get a little tight just before a live show and might maybe have a little pop just before he went on the air, and Clooney showed that in the movie, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Tom didn't. He didn't go for that until afterwards. He just wanted to be clear-eyed and sharp.
Actually,
but after? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Actually, Clooney made the movie, but he played your father, Fred Friendly.
That's correct.
David Strathairn was brilliant as Edward R. Murrow in that movie.
Yes, he was. And it was a tribute to Clooney that he could have easily taken the much more, the bigger part, the better looking guy, and he certainly is a great looking guy and could have played the Murrow part, but he wanted Strathairn to do it, and I think George wanted to concentrate on directing, which he did brilliantly. He also co-wrote the film. So he chose to play my dad, who was Murrow's producer, and he put on a few pounds to do that because my dad was probably 210 and Clooney's probably 160. And, you know, just credit to him. He really got into the part and made a brilliant film. All the more brilliant, as I write about in the book, because they did it in black and white. And the reason they did that, I don't know if you find this interesting, but they wanted to use the actual footage of the evil Senator Joseph McCarthy, the senator from Wisconsin, who the term McCarthyism was named after. A lot of your listeners are too young to remember, but if you get a chance, you guys should all watch that film,
yep.
Good Night and Good Luck, which was Murrow's sign-off. But he wanted to use the actual footage of Joe McCarthy from newsreels, and I asked him about that when I met him. He was very inclusive of my family and me in the making of the film. And I said, why'd you do that? He said, I couldn't cast an actor as evil as McCarthy was in real life in those clips. So I decided to make the whole film in black and white so I could use the real clips and use McCarthy. I found that very interesting.
Very.
And in the end, it led to a much more, I think, nuanced and stylish and dramatic film. You know, as you know, almost every film today is made in color.
Yeah.
But in this case, it really worked.
Now, let's go to another project you worked on with another big personality, and I could easily talk to you for 3 hours, Andy.
I could, too.
Reading your book was just fantastic, and here's a part of the book that really got me. You produced the third Richard Pryor concert movie. He did Richard Pryor Live, and then he did Live on the Sunset Strip, and then in 83 he did one called Richard Pryor Here and Now. And I wish I had time to talk to you about that for a long time, but I only have time for you to tell me one story, if you would, about the pinstriped suit.
Oh, God. Give me a cue. How much time do you have? Because I can tell this story in 10 minutes.
I have 3 or 4 minutes.
All right, I'll try to do it. It's his last concert film. We're shooting in New Orleans. We spent a whole year getting ready for it, shooting around the country at the Comedy Store and different clubs, getting ready. Couldn't have been nicer. He had a terrible rep. He had blown himself up in the last film, as you all know, with the freebase in the code, almost died. His reputation was just being very hard to work with. But when we got him, he was in a great place. He had recovered from all that. Couldn't have been nicer for a whole year. We finally get down to New Orleans to do the film itself at the old Sanger Theater. Over 3 nights we're going to record his concert. And Richard was the funniest, the best. If you ask Eddie Murphy or any of the comedians, Robin Williams, David Letterman, he was the best. So we were getting along great until the day before our first filming. He walks in with his brand new pinstripe white silk suit that he had just bought in New Orleans. And he said, "Guess what, guys? I found this. I'm going to wear this for the film." And we all went, you know, our alert signs went up, because we know shooting video and film, you can't wear a white pinstripe suit because it's going to flare and strobe. And we thought he was kidding around, and we thought he knew that because he was directing the film. But he wasn't kidding. So he threw out the old suit, the green nice suit we had all agreed on with wardrobe, and he said, "You guys make it work." We said, "Richard, it's not going to work. The lights, the camera, the video chroma levels, it's going to flare. The audience will have a headache, and they'll be dizzy, and it's not going to work." He insisted on it, and he wasn't kidding around. We tried to talk him out of it. Jim Brown, the great football player, our executive producer, who is his friend, he couldn't talk him out of it. His lawyer, Skip Rittenham, who represents Harrison Ford and all, he couldn't talk him. We end up taking this suit at 4 a.m. to a lady in New Orleans who tries to, we had talked to every wardrobe person in the world. We were talking to people in Paris, one, "How do you fix this?" Video people, the guys who did the Oscars. It wouldn't work. And Richard wouldn't budge. He said, "You, I won't use the language, but you MFs better fix this. I'm wearing this suit tomorrow night, and if you don't, it's your ass." So we finally, at 4 a.m, and this story has the added advantage of being true, we end up in an apartment of some crazy lady with beads and 5 cats, because a tailor in New Orleans said, "Look, there's only one way you can do this. It's got to be dyed. There's a lady I know who once made it work." We end up in this lady's apartment. She fills a bathtub with hot water and puts in a box of tea bags. I'm not kidding you. And now we have the suit, and we put it in the hot in the bathtub with the tea bags. It sits there for about an hour, and at 5 a.m. she hands it to us and says, "All right, take it out, let it dry. When you wake up in the morning, it might be okay." Well, we just thought our careers are over. This is it. He's going to fire us. The movie's never going to get made. We show up 9 a.m. Our wardrobe lady hands us the suit. It's all shrunken down 3 sizes. It's a muddy brown color. And we go back to Pryor, and we go, "We're sorry, Richard. We tried our best. We were up all night." And he was pissed. I mean, really pissed. He goes, "Well, I'm not showing up." Anyway, long story short, he shows up at 6 o'clock to do the show. And in the original suit, thank God, he cracks up. He's holding the suit, the wrinkled one, in his hand, walks out on stage, tells the whole story, and just has a great time and makes a big joke of it. But for those 24 hours, we literally thought we were going to be fired over.
What a life you have led. It's unbelievable. And we haven't even touched on, how do you handle Roseanne when she's doing a syndicated show? What's it like to piss off Johnny Carson accidentally? We didn't get into Dick Cavett, Charles Grodin, Charlie Rose, Phil Donahue, Tim Russert, Geraldo Rivera, Roger Ailes, and the list goes on. 40 years this man was telling great stories on television and remembering them to put down in the book, which is called Willing to Be Lucky, Adventures in Life and Television. Andy Friendly, what a pleasure it has been to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much, Paul. Really enjoyed it.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
All right. Crews are working with an accident on eastbound Highway 44. It is west of Six Flags. Now, MoDOT is sent out a thing saying that the highway is shut down, but I'm looking at a video, and it looks like possibly the left shoulder may be getting by. But, boy, there's a lot of emergency equipment on top of the hill and headed that way right now. We also have, we are slowing down now. MoDOT's just updating, saying that the two right lanes are closed. The left lane is getting through, but traffic is backed up west of Pacific. You're traveling eastbound Highway 270. You've got stop-and-go traffic from east of McDonald. That is through Highway 170. We're looking at northbound 170 slowing from 70 up through Airport Road. Southbound 270, it's getting slow to stop-and-go between Page down through Doherty Ferry. This traffic report brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as a traffic jam. With the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, one gentle forehead scan is all it takes. If only the commute were that easy. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Hi, it's David Sherwood of the Inside Out Show and president of Sherwood's Forest on Barrett Station Road, just south of Manchester. Fall planting season is here now. We are fully stocked with the area's largest selection of evergreens, Japanese maples, and shade trees. Choose from ginkgo, October glory maple, hornbeam, and parotia to provide summertime shade and great fall color. At Sherwood's, you will also find hundreds of green giant arborvitaes, perfect to screen thy neighbor. At Sherwood's Forest, you'll also find thousands of your fall favorite extra large size evergreens like spruce, boxwood, and holly. We use St. Louis Composting's black gold with all of our plantings. Now is the time to plant some smiles. All of Sherwood's installations are guaranteed for 2 years. So head to the forest, Sherwood's Forest at 2651 Barrett Station Road, or check out our inventory at sherwoods-forest.com.
Home and garden, soulmates, making beautiful gardens. Come alive.
Sherwood's Forest is open 7 days a week.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word YOUTH to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text YOUTH to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text YOUTH UTH to 42424.
This is Christine, recruiter for the VA healthcare system. We are seeking full-time emergency medicine physicians. Successful applicants will provide high-quality, effective care directly to our nation's veterans. The VA is the largest and most advanced integrated healthcare system in the nation. The VA offers competitive benefits, including malpractice insurance, pension, vacation, holidays, and more. Be a part of this winning team and honor our veterans. Call me at 314-488-8252. The VA healthcare system. Healthcare for heroes.
KTRS.